This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying tuned to The Morning Run. It's 7:20 in the morning, Thursday, the 10th of March. In the meantime, let's talk about Malaysia's transition into endemicity. Now, as the country segues to that on April 1st, there will be only one SOP, but 9 guidelines. And some key ones are...
The wearing of face masks in public places is still mandatory. Prayers and religious activities in all houses of worship can be conducted without physical distancing rules. The government has lifted 50% capacity restrictions on indoor venues as well. And regardless of vaccination status, interstate travel will be allowed and business operating hours will no longer have any restrictions.
However, pubs, bars and nightclubs are still not allowed to open. As for the opening of international borders on April 1st, rules have been simplified as no quarantine will be required. Although a PCR test 2 days within departure and a professional antigen RTK within 24 hours on arrival is compulsory. But is Malaysia ready for the transition to endemicity and are these SOPs suitable?
So for more on this, we speak to Dr. Vinod Balasubramaniam, Senior Lecturer and Co-Lead at the Jeffrey Chia School of Medicine and Health Sciences. Good morning, Doc. Now, is Malaysia actually, honestly, are we ready to transition to endemicity on April 1st? Considering that we may not have reached the peak of the Omicron wave?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me. Now, I've said many times in previous interviews that virus that causes COVID-19 will never be eradicated. The world must at some point transition away from pandemic and toward an endemic phase. Now, keywords, towards endemic phase. Are we in endemic phase already? I don't think so. We are not. We know that Omicron was first detected in Malaysia somewhere around early December, and cases have steadily, rise rapidly since, December up to February this year. And, we also found that from genomic surveillances that almost 80% of all genome sequencing are from the Omicron variant, right? And, as we speak about this, a high vaccination rate, a decision to increase vaccination coverage, to include children as young as 5, and the rollout of boosters have helped to keep the percentage of serious infections relatively low. We are on the road, right? We are heading there.
Okay, so you clearly articulated we are in that transition and that pathway. I just want to get your perspective. If you listened, to the recommendations and to the SOPs, mm-hmm. are they in line with where you think we should be in the transition phase?
I understand the uneasy, feeling when, I saw some of the recommendation includes, that prayers and religious activities at mosque and non-Muslim houses of worship, no longer subject to physical distancing rules, and there are no more limits in workplaces, in schools, interstate travel, it's open to all, regardless of the vaccination status. Yes, it is uneasy, right? But I believe with, high vaccination rates among national vaccination rates, I think we should be able to, contain even, because we know that even if you're infected with Omicron with booster doses that, you display mild and non-severe symptoms. But again, one important point, right? Is the national rate reflected in the states or districts? In Kelantan, for example, you have, vaccination rate below 50%, I think. So that is a point to ponder. Mm. What happens if you allow this in a state with very low vaccination, for example, in Kelantan, also with very high comorbidities in terms of, metabolic diseases? Now, what happens then? That's a point to ponder.
Okay, so your point to ponder is that, yes, we're all feeling uneasy, but the issue here is that maybe we need to be a bit more uneven in its treatment then, that we need to be more isolated, because there's a lot of debate that actually even those SOPs are uneven in how it's applied, right? For example, the application of not being able to apply for nightclubs and bars and such.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you ask me honestly, it's not going to make any difference, whether it's a nightclub, whether it's in a mosque, because of the nature of Omicron. If we do not follow SOPs, if you're not wearing a mask, if you're not observing physical distancing, what are the chances of infection happening? Extremely high. Now, the only thing to prevent from, hospitals getting swamped or, getting severe cases is for everyone to be boosted, at least.
And then what do you think of the 10 requirements under the single SOP? Are there any gaps in these requirements?
In terms of gaps, I'm still, you know, in terms of enforcement, yes, we are, you know, because if you look at Malaysians, you know, compliance remains an issue. Previously, you know, checking in, wearing masks, observing social distancing was, not easy. It was not an easy task. Now, what happens when you remove totally all of that, right? Except for, you know, wearing masks. So I think everything depends on us, we Malaysians. Are we going to follow, you know, do we have our own SOPs that, you know, preventing us from getting infected? Because many of us have a vulnerable group back at home. For example, children who can't be vaccinated or elderly who can't be vaccinated, someone who's immunocompromised. So it's up to us, actually.
So, Doc, you're basically saying that this transition process requires a change, actually, from government intervention to almost individual responsibility, right? But the issue here is that when we look, and you brought up children, what has been alarming is that the vaccination rate for children remains extremely low at 30%. How can we address this then?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think, you know, there should be a proper articulation, the importance, especially in pediatric group, in children group, right? That's missing, I feel, you know, holistic approach, not only, you know, mass through mass media or whatnot, you know, even through, you know, the society itself, you know, for example, your true family doctors or, you know, through someone, a medical practitioner that you know to give assurances, you know, not coming from, you know, politicians, Minister of Health or whatnot, you know, that's a missing link there, I feel.
So I mean, when you think about then the booster jab as well, it's only 60% as well. So we also have an issue for the adults as well, isn't it, in getting the booster jab?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's not where we want. So as a whole, you know, the only thing which is going to stop us from getting overwhelmed is getting booster doses, and it's getting whoever who are, you know, eligible for vaccination to be vaccinated. That is what's happening, you know, worldwide. You know, if we see that premature removal of restrictions in UK caused a huge surge in terms of hospitalization and mortality earlier this year and previous years. So that's a lesson to be learned.
And I want to talk about the test, because the Health Minister actually said that we need to reduce our dependence on PCR as we move into endemic phase and rely more on RTK tests. Is this reasonable?
Reasonable because of what's happening with the transmissibility of Omicron, right? Transmissibility of Omicron. RTK, you can do it whenever you want, wherever you want. So due to that, the nature of it, the ability of it, ability of, to get it anywhere you want. So that, maybe because of that.
And that, I suppose, Doc, is part of that journey, right? To living with the virus.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, the society plays an extremely important role. You know, the SOPs are within us. We should be, you know, aware of what's, you know, happening in our surroundings. Just because we are boosted doesn't mean we should test our body's capabilities of getting infected, you know. So that's the main takeaway point here.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Vinod Balasubramaniam, Senior Lecturer and Co-Lead at Jeffrey Chia School of Medicine and Health Sciences. Ending on a very important note, just because you've got boosters doesn't mean you want to test your body when it comes to COVID-19.
Personal responsibility. I think that is the key theme from today. You know, while the government does these relaxations, we can question about its unevenness, its uneasiness.
Maybe whether there are gaps in the gaps, SOPs.
Ultimately, personal responsibility.
And don't forget, even though it's one single SOP, but 10 requirements, this is still enforced under Act 342.
Yeah, but the point is actually we need to shift. We do need to shift from government intervention to community solidarity and then individual responsibility. And this is something echoed by our Health Minister, Khairi Jamaluddin. And it's really important because the state can only do so much. And then after that, it's just down to us as individuals, whether we want to protect the people that we love and even the wider society. We're here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.